Yeah.
Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now, coming up on the show, we talk to Steve Topple of thecanary.co. But first, Theresa May was overheard this week on the front line of the brutal war against the poor outside Grenfell Tower in West London, crying, "My kingdom for a change of course. Strong and stable, strong and stable, strong and stable is where I keep my horse." Oh, how lovely, Stacy.
Her horse, of course, is what she would require to change some course. Theresa May is, of course, always changing course. One thing, however, that the Conservative Party has not changed course on is austerity. Austerity, austerity, austerity. And councils across the United Kingdom, local councils, have seen a 40% cut in their funding since the Tories came to power. The headline reads, "Theresa May was too scared to meet the Grenfell survivors. She is finished." This is from The Guardian, and they write, "That tomb in the sky will be forever Theresa May's monument. Grenfell marks the spot, and her visit marks the moment the last vestiges of her career were finally rubbed out." Grenfell, of course, is a tower block. It's a council estate, but many private residents as well living there, many refugees living there. And, well, there were all sorts of building code violations that they would be considered violations anyway in the United States, apparently not in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that's one of the primary features of this tragedy is that basic things like sprinklers and other fire hazard devices were not in place. And just, Stacy, I cannot overemphasize how much this just rings the bell in my head of the incredible class war in the United Kingdom, that people don't really understand it, how pernicious it is, how rabid it is, how much contempt the ruling class has for everyone else. And here it's demonstrated in this tragedy where people are treated really like a chattel, and trying to board them up with this these outside structures to keep them hidden. This is quite remarkably tragic. Now, at the same token, having lived in the UK for a number of years, I see the beginning already of a massive fudge coming as folks discuss whether they should have an inquiry or an inquest. This is very British. This can go on for 6 months. And the ruling elite hope that this gets, pushed into the tall grass and life goes on as it always does for 1,000 years.
Well, of course, the ruling class always does hope that they can jump on their horse and change the course. But in fact, we've seen protesters storming Kensington Town Hall. We've seen outrage from the population across the United Kingdom. The symbolism is very important here for those who do not know London. London, of course, is one of the most expensive cities in the world, and no place is more expensive than Kensington and Chelsea, where this tragedy of Grenfell Tower happened. This is also where you have a lot of absentee owners of these 10, 20, 30, $40 million properties right outside this tower block, which was coated in this cladding, which apparently was just basically combustible. There was no fireproof sort of quality to it, and it just took the whole building up in flames. There were no sprinklers, no fire alarms, no smoke alarms in the building. Now, Kensington, of course, is also, it's really become ground zero for this end of the class war, perhaps, when the bottom 99% appeared to be fighting back, because it was a shock in the shock election that the Tories had just called. Theresa May's party suffered severe blows in this last election, and they lost Kensington for the first time to Labour. And here we have Kensington Town Hall being stormed by protesters. Mr. Topple, Steve Topple of Canary.co, what is your take on what is going on with Grenfell?
Okay, so I mean, people are, in my eyes, slightly overcomplicating this. I think, Max, you kind of summed it up when you said that this has been going on for 1,000 years. This encapsulates, if you like, the rabid class war that has been going on for eternity in the UK. There's been people saying that it sums up the past 30 years of neoliberal consensus. This is much deeper than that. This is entrenched in the UK, this othering, if you like, of the poorest people in society. It goes right back to feudal times and before, and it still exists. It just takes on different guises, if you like, over each period in history. And this is one of the guises we're seeing, where people think, the establishment class think, that they can just house the poorest in society in an adequate accommodation, do it on the cheap, not really care, as long as it looks acceptable for the peering eyes of the richest across the borough. And this is the consequence. This is just the class war, just absolutely laid bare in my eyes.
Yeah, Steve. I think you're on the mark there. And the response from the ruling class, they have tools, they have skills, they have ways to divert and deflect and to escape accountability. They have the mainstream media in their pocket. They have, amongst the serfs of this feudal class war arrangement, many folks who will jump at the chance to appease their lords and ladies. This is something that's quite disheartening when you live in the UK and you see the outrageous miscarriage of justice and you talk to those who are the victims and they feel like it's somehow part of being British, you know, like I'm British and part of the what it means to be British is to have my house burn up so that a rich guy can make a few extra pounds. You know, it reminds me vaguely of, after the 9/11 tragedy, you know, people discussed that, well, you know, for $50, jets and planes could have had an additional lock to keep the cockpit safe from intruders, you know. And of course, why would that never happen? Because they don't want to spend the $50. You know, the slumlords at these council estates, you know, they don't want to spend $20 for a smoke alarm. They don't want to spend a few bucks on a sprinkler. They've got yacht payments to make. They've got chateau payments to make. They've got things to do. I just don't see anything coming of this, though.
This is the problem. I mean, I think one report summed it up best today. There's been a lot of discussion about the cladding that was put on the exterior of the property so it aesthetically looked more pleasing to the eyes of the richest owners in Kensington and Chelsea. There was a report saying that for £2 more for each sheet of cladding, it would have been fire resistant. These are obviously unconfirmed at the minute. It's kind of speculation, if you like. But if that's the case, then it again encapsulates what you're just saying. But there's a deeper problem here in so much that while we're hearing voices of those affected and voices of the local community, the people trotting out the analysis of this in the mainstream press and the commentators going on the radio are essentially the same damn voices we hear all the time, middle class, white, from fairly privileged backgrounds, again, talking about problems they do not understand. None of these people actually live in council or social accommodation themselves. They haven't actually experienced this. And this is, it goes back to what you're saying again about, I suppose it's a protectionism, if you like, for the establishment class. They're trotting out these same voices giving analysis when they haven't got really a damn clue about what the implications are of this and what it really means. I think that there's one parallel I think is important that I'd like to draw as well, which I think we need to be conscious of moving forward, and that's Hurricane Katrina over in the US. Now, what we saw in the wake of that was, yes, inaction by Bush, but we also saw on the sly after that the mass privatization of the education system in New Orleans. It goes, it's like Naomi Klein's shock doctrine theory, and that was used in the US to near perfection to privatize the education system in New Orleans. And if we're not very careful, what this incident will be used for is mass demolition, if you like, of council estates, especially tower blocks, all under the name of safety. And I mean, we know how these people work, and I can see that coming a mile off.
Now, let's talk about this issue of housing, because in the past week, I've seen two stories outside of the UK related to housing and the wealth and income gap. I've seen in Hong Kong, they're now having basically apartments being built the size of a bed, essentially, And there were long lines of people to get onto the list, even buy these properties that are selling at a per square foot, even more than the mansions that are available in Hong Kong. We also saw that Google is building micro apartments for their employees in Silicon Valley and San Francisco because they cannot afford on their high salaries the huge cost of housing in San Francisco. So we have this global rentier class. Can you put into context Kensington and Chelsea for those who do not live in London, do not know London, put that location into context of this global, you know, capital class?
Of course, in London, I mean, one of the main issues in London at the minute is what's referred to in the UK as social cleansing, where the establishment class are essentially trying to purge the capital of everyone who they deem to be below them, which is essentially council housing tenants and people in private rental accommodation. It's a huge thing in London at the minute. There are reportedly now only 60,000 council houses left in the whole of the city. Council house occupation is down to 8%, when in 1979, before Margaret Thatcher took power, it was at 42%. This is a real issue. And in the global context, what we're seeing is the displacement, if you like, of those who cannot afford to live in the society that's being created by corporatism. They're being displaced out of the way and moved to areas where they're essentially not such of a burden, and where therefore the land can then be sold on by the establishment class to make a healthy profit. But I think in reference to what you're saying about this massive downsizing of property and workers being forced to live in tiny accommodation, this is again another symptom of corporatism. It's taking what we know as capitalism and it's taking it to an extreme that we haven't witnessed before, where essentially we're being turned into absolute robots, and in a way that we've never witnessed before. It's taking on a real unpleasant, if that's possible, more than it has been in the past, a real unpleasant form now.
Yeah. So Steve, you know, after the Westminster Bridge and the Tower Bridge tragedies, video emerged of police confronting the powerful Theresa May and others about cuts to services would generate outcomes, more dangerous outcomes, more terrorism, and the need for more military on the streets. Also, video emerging now about Boris Johnson and others cutting firehouses and getting or converting firehouses to upscale luxury apartments. So the results of this type of social cleansing, as social cleansing, as you point out, is really quite violent. We're seeing the violent consequences of this, right?
Absolutely. The thing is as well, it's done by stealth, Max, like everything else is. It's a drip, 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 if you like. It's like the old analogy about a frog. If you put it in water and slowly raise the temperature, it won't notice it's being boiled until it dies. And that's essentially what we're seeing. With regards to cuts to services, it's a creeping, if you like, kind of process. Nothing's ever done immediately overnight, because they know they wouldn't get away with it. But these things do have consequences. However, I think there's a broader point to be made with that, especially in relation to the cuts to police and the instance of terrorism. Now, while police present a more visible presence on the streets and they may have been able to respond quicker, that's not going to solve the problem of Islamist terrorism. That's a sort of misnomer, if you like. What we're seeing with that is the such skewed foreign policy, where the UK government was allowing people affiliated with the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group to go back to overthrow Gaddafi in 2011. And these people of the LIFG were previously affiliated to Al-Qaeda. But because they were going to work on our side and go and get rid of Gaddafi for us, then that was fine. Have your passports, off you go. You can go to Libya for a while and then, yeah, come back. And of course, we expect no recourse from those kind of actions. So I think cuts in those terms, it's like, say, it's a misnomer. However, in the broader scale of things, yes, it's just as a general again of essentially cutting back lifelines and support for the poorest in society.
All righty. Well, that's it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Steve Topple of the Canary.co. Until next week, bye, y'all.